Can you start by saying your name and your position?
I'm Roy Getchell. I am the Haynesboro School District Superintendent.
And what happened?
Well, yesterday afternoon, you know, I became aware of a threat that was posted on one of our bathrooms. And that threat said school shooting on 10/19. So obviously that's a major concern. A student reported it, thankfully, which is something I think that needs to be celebrated here, is that this stands out. When something like that happens, it's abnormal here in Haynes. So somebody came and reported it. We called the police and immediately did a threat assessment on this. And then began the investigation almost immediately and communication soon thereafter.
Did you send students home when you found out about this?
No. I think that it happened later in the day, so that would have created a situation that would have been, you know, really difficult. I think we needed to find out information and gather what it is that we could as we assess this. But beyond that, there aren't any other credible situations or things that we could tie to this that would make it rise to something that needed to be an immediate response from us, other than the immediate response of calling the police, taking it seriously, and starting an investigation.
So you sent a message to parents, and how many of them would you say chose to keep their child at home today?
So the other immediate decision was to be transparent, right? So it was really important to get communication out as soon as we could. So at about 4:05, after we met with staff, because we met with staff first and then communicated with parents, we let them know of the situation so that they could make their own decisions for their own family. You know, and we're going to respect that until this is resolved and until, you know, parents feel comfortable about this. But we felt like that was really important to just put out the information, because it's not a part of our school and community culture, nor should it ever be. It's concerning. And so we wanted to just make sure that we got that information out right away.
What's the attendance today? How many students stayed at home?
You know, Alan, I'd have to look. So we have a number of students who are out traveling anyway as part of their normal activities. I would guess that it's 20-25%. It may depend on the grade level and the classroom, but definitely some parents. And we support that, chose to keep their children at home.
What are the short-term measures that are being taken?
So the first thing that people would notice is that we've got police presence here, right? So we've fortunately had our interim police chief, Josh Dryden, who is super cooperative. He's always ready to help and ready to support us. So he was involved right out of the gate yesterday and was here this morning at 7:30 as we kind of just walked the building, making sure things looked okay. Officer Juicy was here. I've seen Officer Fullerton here as well throughout the day. So we've increased police presence. Obviously, that's not a normal thing that we do. We've got a lot of, I guess you would say, we've been a lot more visible as administration and staff, making sure that we're out in common areas and looking at things. We are investigating, looking at our camera system, which is really thorough, and we've got about 25 cameras at least on the inside in common areas in our building. So they're not in classrooms or restrooms or things like that. But we can gather a lot of information based on that. So those are some of the things that we're doing right now, in addition to, you know, like monitoring our bathrooms, doing making sure that we are going through and seeing if there's any additional writing that appears, which would, you know, obviously assess the threat, but then also see, you know, time frame. So if we're doing that every hour, every hour and a half, have a better idea of who it could be, because we're able to see who enters and who leaves and at what time that happens.
What about long term? Are we potentially looking at metal detectors or any of those measures?
No, I think that's really important. You know, I think we need to have a measured response, and I think this is like I said, this is not something that we want to get used to, or should it ever be a part of our community. I don't want school to be a fortress. I don't want us to be in a situation where we look like a setting that Haynes is not used to. However, we have to respond, and we have done a lot of work behind the scenes to respond over the last year and a half. We have an anonymous reporting app that students have had access to for a year. Our staff have the ability to use an app that we all use that's connected to the police department that informs of a lockdown. So any staff member, if they're concerned, can send a lockdown alert that goes to all of our staff and then also to the police. We have an MOA with the police where they, in an emergency, can access our cameras and then also have keys and an ability to get into our school. Our staff are trained in ALICE, which is the response for an active threat. And so we're working on that and continue to work on that. But I expect that what this will do is just create more vigilance with all those things. And frankly, I hope that it's a wake-up call, not just to Haines, but to everywhere, as I hear about the number of situations like this that are on the rise in Alaska and across our country, just about mental health of our students, of children, who are reflections of adults. And so I think that is a very real thing that we need to respond with safety in mind, but then also well-being of how are our students doing and how do we serve them better and how do we help our families, you know, during what's a tough period right now. You know, Alan, I think it was on Monday, there were over 1,000 bomb threats sent anonymously to schools across the country. Now, we didn't get one. And you might have seen one or some on the news about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, were about 25 or 30 schools in Alaska. We weren't one of them, but they received anonymous threats. That was also a national effort that went across healthcare and schools. And unfortunately, these things are becoming more and more common, and we have to respond with vigilance. But it's disappointing to see for sure.
Is there a likelihood that we will find out who wrote this message?
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, that's the goal, right? Because for two reasons. Number one, for school safety. I mean, I'm a really nice guy, but at the same time, I think it's really important that this school maintains its sense of safety and a sense of well-being and a place that parents feel comfortable dropping their children off and the children feel comfortable being here. At the same time, we want to make sure that if there's somebody within our community that needs extra support, that they're able to get that. So hopefully that we'll be able to identify that for those reasons, because I think it's really important to do so.
What kind of measures could be taken if you did find who put out that message?
Well, I think at that point, you know, it's a matter of school, looking at school policy, you know, looking at the law. There's lots of laws, there's lots of policy around this. But this is very serious. You know, whether it's credible or not, or whether somebody thinks it's a joke or not, we are going to take this seriously and respond in the same way, no matter what it might be. So I think that, you know, we'll be taking a look at that to ensure that we follow our policy to the fullest extent that we can.
Have you talked to students today? Are some of them particularly affected by this?
Good question. So we have, you know, our teachers have had some talking points that I sent out early this morning so that they can respond. What we've learned is that children a lot of times respond best to routine. If they had concerns, they had some talking points that would kind of help them at age-appropriate levels and moving forward. Some of the older students, you know, we've got our school social worker and our counselor that I noticed they've been sitting down in the school in the open area of the high school, making sure that students have the support they need. Our assistant principal, Jens, was down in the middle school, had his office down there. So we're just keeping an eye on them and being available if they need anything. But overall, I think that, you know, it feels a little different. But it's a safe, structured learning environment today, even though this is obviously really disturbing to all of us, for sure.
So the 19th is tomorrow. Are you keeping the school open? And
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's not. If there were more specific information, we might look at doing something else. But I'll tell you that I think it's really important that we set our standard for how we respond. And I think that we don't want to create a situation that without credibility that we're closing, or we could potentially be closing a lot, you know, unfortunately, in today's modern world. But the bottom line is that anytime one of these things comes up, we are going to take it seriously. We are going to investigate this. We are going to inform the police. We're going to follow our protocols, and we're going to inform our parents so that there's no secrets. So that information is available, and that we work forward, hopefully, for a solution, because this is definitely has been a year of these kinds of things across the state and across the country, which is disappointing.
Does the date of October 19th has any significance? Ring the bell? Anniversary of a school shooting?
Yeah, not that we know of. I mean, we did some homework into that, like why that day. So I don't know if it was. I'm not sure why somebody would put that up there like that. So it's a good question. I don't know.
Any message you want to deliver directly to listeners, parents, students?
Well, like I said, and I don't think that I can say this enough, is this is just not part of our school community or our culture, and it shouldn't ever be. And I refuse to get used to things like this. I think it's really important that we do our due diligence with an investigation, but that we also reflect on how we better serve our students, because I think it's really, really important that their mental health and their needs are addressed so that issues like this don't arise. And I know that they're on the rise around the country. I know that there are situations that are concerning that seem to be more and more random that are popping up everywhere. But I refuse to get used to this here. And I think that we need to continue to be vigilant and never expect something like this to be normal.
Have students received active shooter trainings?
So teachers typically are the ones that work through that. Students go through lockdown procedures, so that is typically the safest thing that can occur, is for them to be able to quickly have a procedure to get into their classroom. But teachers have gone through the ALICE training, which is, you know, more of a teacher action about the teacher making a decision about how to respond in an emergency, because we want them to feel like they can do whatever they need to do to keep their classroom safe and have options in doing so.
Any specific measures you would like to mention that are in place in case of a situation like that?
Well, like I said, we have the Stop It app that allows students to report things if they have concerns. We have the School Guard Lockdown app, which allows us to signal a lockdown across the school quickly that connects to the police station. We have our new access control system, and I expect there to be a conversation about how much of that we access, you know, whether we lock the doors during the day or what doors are locked and how often they're locked. But we will have a lot of capability, ironically, starting this weekend, because it's going to be worked on. Johnson Controls is coming back to finish up. There's several things that they need to finish. Folks might have noticed some of the cameras that are at the door entrances, so we'll be able to respond quickly if we need to in that regard. But as I said, Alan, I think that this is incredibly disturbing. We don't want to get used to this, but we do need to balance this with what we want our school to look like and feel like, and have that meet the needs of the Haines community. So I think that there's future conversations ahead for sure, but we have options, and we haven't been standing flat-footed. So I feel good about that.
Anything you'd like to add?
No, just, I appreciate the grace and understanding of our community and parents and the support that we always get. As I said, I think that children are barometers of adults. And, you know, I just hope that anybody who's out there that needs additional support, additional help, will reach out. They'll reach out to a trusted friend, somebody that they know, or a place where they can get support, because these are not easy times, are they? And we want to make sure that that we're here and that everybody's here for each other as we do our best in this little corner of Alaska to have a good, safe place to live. And I'm sure that we're going to be right back to that very soon.
Thank you.